Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the advices of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, yesterday we had come to the third advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, where he mentioned that when you go to the home of somebody, then protect your gazes. This all what I am mentioning is what we have learned from our Hazrat Dawud Barakatum. Allah Ta'ala give Hazrat Jazai Khair, and we have benefited from Hazrat. So there are two poems that are quoted that will assist a person in protecting his gaze. And these are the poems of Maulana Asadullah Saab of Saharanpur. So one poem he says, Ishq butam e asad, tum karte ho fikr rahat, dozak mein dhoondte ho jannat ki khwabgahe. He says, in the love of these painted dollies of the road, Ishq butam e asad o asad, tum karte ho fikr rahat. You're looking for comfort. You're looking for enjoyment in this filthy woman of the road. Dozak mein dhoondte ho jannat ki khwabgahe. That in Jahannam, you are looking for the bounties of Jannat. Jahannam is only azab. La yamutu fiha wa la yahya. A person won't even die in Jahannam. He won't even live in Jahannam. So in this filthy woman of the dunya, what are you going to find from them? These filthy woman of the road. Only sicknesses, only diseases, humiliation, and the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So a person should try and contemplate over this one poem. In another poem he says, Na deko in surkh rukhoku zin nahar, paro rabbana qina azab an-nar. That don't look at these red cheeks. Never ever look at these red cheeks. And he compares the red cheeks and the red lipstick that is applied. He compares this to the flames of the fire of Jahannam. That never ever look at these red cheeks. But what should one read? Oh Allah, Rabbana qina azab an-nar, oh Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. A person, he leaves home and he goes to work. So many a time the wife, she remembers that the husband has to bring something in the evening. So she phones him at work and she tells the husband at work that when you're coming back, then bring a bag of potatoes, or bring a loaf of bread. So what does he say? He says, the whole day you nag me. Even at work you don't leave me also. Here also you're nagging me. But now while she's at work, 5 minutes later, another lady phones. And she has some order and she wants to make some inquiry. So how he talks now? And he says, no problem, what do you want? And where are you from? I'll come and deliver it at your home. And then he says, this is customer service. So look at the difference between the two. So therefore many people say that we don't get enjoyment in our wives. So why don't we get enjoyment in our wives? An example is given of this, that there's a poor man. And the poor man, he's going to work. So when he goes to work in the morning, his wife makes for him some daal and bread. So he goes to work. So during his lunchtime at work, all his friends, all his colleagues, they're taking out their lunch. And they're all warming it in a microwave. So somebody got biryani. And somebody got shami kebab. So now he gets the aroma of that biryani. He gets the aroma of that kebab. So now he also is feeling for that biryani. He's feeling for that kebab. So what does he do? He goes to that person. He says, what's the time? I don't have a watch. Tell me what's the time. One person, he was traveling by train. So there was an elderly person sitting next to him. So he asked that person, what's the time? So he says, 5 past. After a little while, he asked him, he says, what's the time? So he said, 10 past. After a little while, he asked him, he says, 1/4 past. So one person was sitting there. He says, why are you troubling him? Tell him the time. 10 past what? 10 past 5, 10 past 6. He says, no, this person, you don't know, he's got an objective why he's asking me the time. Next, after I tell him the time, he's going to ask me, what's my name? Then I'll tell him, what's my name? Then he'll ask me next, after that, where you stay? So then I'll give him my address, I'll tell him I stay at a certain place. Then he'll want to come and visit me. And then when he comes to visit me, he'll see that I got a daughter. Then he'll want to put a proposal for my daughter. Where am I going to give my daughter to somebody who can't afford a watch? So like that, this person now, lunchtime he will come. And lunchtime, he will ask this person, now what's the time? So that person is eating his biryani. So he say, come sit down, have a little bit of biryani with me also. So he say, okay, I'll sit down also. I'll have a little bit. So he sits down. Now he fills his stomach, he ate that biryani. So now he's a poor man, but now he comes home in the evening. So when he comes home in the evening, again the same dal and bread is put on the table. So now his stomach is full. Because his stomach is full, what he's going to say? That this is the problem with the dar. This is the problem with the food. So he starts finding fault with the food now. Why? Because his stomach was full. But if he never eats, with respect, he ate that same dar and bread when he was at work, then he would have been hungry. And now even if this dal and bread was put on the table, then with great relish and enjoyment, he would have eaten this dal and bread. So exactly the same way, a person has got a wife, and she may be the most, beautiful. But when he leaves his home and he goes out, then he's looking at a certain woman, that this is how she looks, and another woman, this is her appearance. So just like that person eating that biryani, he's filling his eyes all the time. Now when he comes home, so even though his wife is so beautiful, now he doesn't find pleasure, he doesn't find enjoyment in his wife. And if he protected his gaze, he looked after his nazar, now when he comes home, even though his wife might not be very beautiful, but then to his wife will look and seem to be the most beautiful woman in the world. That this is like how we discussed yesterday, the concept of taqdeer, that what is destined for a person. That your risk, what is written for you, exactly that is how much a person is going to get. He won't get anything more than that. And he's not going to get anything less than that as well. So similarly, a person that abstains from all the women of the world, then the enjoyment that he would have got in the women of the world, now all that enjoyment, he will get it now in his wife. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and all of us the understanding. So this was the third advice of Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, that protects your gaze when you go to the home of somebody. The fourth advice of Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that when you are with company, when you are with your friends, with other people, then he says, protect your tongue. Be careful of what you say. In the Quran Sharif also, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. That say to my bondsmen, say to my servants, that when they speak, they must say that which is the best. That watch what you speak. Why? إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. That Shaitan, he'll make every attempt to cause friction between two people. Two people are the best of friends. And one person says something, on that day this person got upset, and here they have an argument, now they do not want to see each other anymore. Two brothers, they're in a business, on something they had a little dispute, now they do not want to speak to each other anymore. So watch what you say, speak that which is the best, because Shaitan will try and cause this friction amongst people. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوًا مُبِينًا. That Shaitan is an open enemy for the human being. For insan, he's an open enemy. In another ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. O people of iman, fear Allah. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And speak that which is the truth. Speak correctly. Speak that which is just. And what is the consequence if you speak correctly? يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala will accept your a'mal. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will make your maghfirat, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. And then Allah Ta'ala says, the man that obeys Allah and His Rasul, this person has attained success. Now this ayat of the Quran got to do with the speech of a person, that control your speech. But it is read on the occasion of nikah, when the nikah khutbah is recited. Then on the occasion of nikah, this ayat of the Quran Sharif is recited. So why is it that this ayat of Quran was chosen for the occasion of nikah? So ulama mentioned that if the husband learns to control his tongue and the wife learns to control her tongue, then there will be peace, happiness and harmony in that home. But when the husband and the wife, they are unable to control the tongue, now there's going to be a problem between husband and wife. But it doesn't only remain between husband and wife, but this extends further. Now the husband's family comes in. And then the wife's family comes in. So now there are two families that are fighting with one another. Why? Because somebody was unable to take care of the tongue. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. This is read on the occasion of nikah. And a person, he cannot win against the woman. A wife, with her tongue, she gives such a lashing that a person cannot imagine. One husband and wife, they weren't talking. So they were going for a drive. Husband thought that now we have to break the ice also. So they were going for a drive. So as they were going for a drive, the husband thought that now how am I going to break the ice? So he saw some animals walking. So he told the wife that see, there's your family there. So she said, you're right, that's my family, they're my in-laws. So this is how the wife answers also. One husband and wife, they weren't talking. So now the wife used to wake the husband up every morning at a certain time to go to work. So now he wasn't talking, so he wrote a note. He wrote, wake me up at 6 o'clock. And he put it on the bedside. And then he went to sleep. So in the morning he was late. She didn't wake him up. So when he woke up, he saw that it's already past work time. So when he turns out, he sees a note on his bedtime. It's 6 o'clock, wake up now. So that is how they also operate. So a person, he cannot win. But if a person, if the husband and wife, they control their tongue, then we find there won't be any problems in that home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned another ayat of the Quran. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That whatever you speak, that there is a watcher, everything is recorded in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever a person says, it is recorded by the angels. And this will be presented before a person on the day of Qiyamah. In the hadith, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that sometimes a person, he says some words, and he doesn't care about the words that he has uttered. He says, but these words, they attract the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala becomes so pleased with what this person has said. يَرْفَعُهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا darajat. That because of these words, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala elevates his status in the year after. And at the same time, a person sometimes, he utters some words, and he doesn't even care about it. But this attracts the displeasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي جَهَنَّمْ. And because of this, a person falls headlong into the fire of Jahannam. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he addresses as Anas radiallahu ta'ala, and he tells him of the various fundamentals of deen, namaz, zakat, hajj, fasting, etc. And then he asks a question to Anas radiallahu ta'ala. He says, O Anas, ala ukhbiruka bimilaki dhalika kulli. Should I not inform you, should I not tell you what is most essential from all this that I've explained to you? So he said, certainly, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is it? So he said, kuffa alayka hadha, that take control of this, of your tongue. So then he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, wa inna lamu'akhadhuna bima natakallamu bih. Are we going to be taken to account because of what we speak, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sakilatka ummuka ya Mu'az, hal yakubbu an-nasa fi an-nar illa hasa'idu alsinatihim. That, O Mu'az, that it is the consequence of the tongue that many people will fall headlong into the fire of Jahannam. So a person should be very particular in regards to the tongue. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, once he went to visit Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and he finds Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala holding his tongue. So he asked Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, what is this? What are you doing? So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said that this is what gets a person into a lot of problems, into a lot of fitna. And then he said, Inna hadha awradani al-mawarid. This got me into a lot of difficulty, this tongue of mine. We hear the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that a man that protects his tongue, what is between the jaws, and a person that protects what is between the legs, refers to his chastity. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I guarantee that person Jannah. Some commentators have said, because the tongue and the private part of a person, this gets a person into a lot of trouble. And others have mentioned, that when the tongue of a person is not correct, then the consequence is the second part of the hadith. That this is when the chastity of a person will not be protected. If a person protects his tongue, then automatically his chastity will be protected. And if the tongue is not protected, then the chastity of a person won't be protected. Ulama have written regarding Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that from all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, it is only Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that made a request to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, I want to see you. Qala Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. And Allah Ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam that, oh Musa, you'll never be able to see me. So it is only Musa alayhi salam. None of the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam made this request. So ulama explain that what is the reason for this? That only Musa alayhi salam made this request to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So they say that Musa alayhi salam was kalimullah. He used to speak to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So because he used to speak to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he became familiar with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so to say. So now he went one step further. That I'm speaking to Allah and I want to see what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala looks like also. So exactly the same way, when a person starts speaking, he's making that phone call, he's phoning a certain company to put an order. Now he's speaking to the receptionist. So over a period of time, now he's speaking to her, he becomes familiar with her. And then he thinks that her voice is so good, so what she must be looking like. So now he makes a plan that now maybe I have to go pick up that order, or maybe if I have to go and drop off some order there. So then he sees her, and now he starts planning and plotting even further and further. It is for this reason that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had instructed Azwaj Ummahatul Mu'mineen, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. That don't speak in this sweet tone, in this low tone. Why? فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَدْ. That man that comes with sickness in his heart, he has hypocrisy in his heart. Or that person has got sickness in his heart. Then he is going to also start inclining. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. But speak in a kind way. Don't be rude to people. So it is mentioned, Azwaj-e Mutahharat say, that when any sahabi would come, then we would speak in a very, very firm voice. And why Allah Ta'ala had protected the family of Nabi alayhi salam? Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّزْقِ. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala intends to remove all sins from you. لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّزْقِ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. You are the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَتْهِيرًا. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to cleanse you, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to purify you. So the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were instructed that speak in a firm way. Generally a woman, she has a sweet voice, and a man has a gruff voice. So she has no bad intention when she's speaking. That is naturally how she speaks. But the man, he gets the wrong message. That she's speaking to me in this way, maybe she has some intention. So that is why a person, he should protect his tongue also. And the consequence is the chastity of a person will also be protected. An incident has been mentioned of a particular king. His son had become an alim of deen. So when he graduated, when he qualified as an alim of deen, then the father decided to have a jalsa. So in this jalsa, he called up this boy. He said, come to the stage and say a few words. So he came up, but he refused to speak. So he thought that he just newly graduated, stage fright, he won't be able to speak at this stage. So he said, let him open up a little bit. So he told the minister, take this boy and go hunting. So they took the boy and they went out hunting. So while they were hunting, they came across a partridge bird. So the bird made a noise. So when they passed that bird, the bird made a noise. So immediately he said, did you see that there's a bird over here? So as long as the bird kept quiet, it was safe. But it made a noise, so now he said that, did you see the bird? So they came back and they hunted the bird. But what was their objective? They wanted the boy to speak. They wanted to see, can he speak or not? So this young boy was able to speak. He was now an alim of deen. So they decided, let us return back to the palace. So they came back to the king. And they told the king that the boy is able to speak. So he had another jalsa now. And when he had the second jalsa, then this young boy was called up again and asked to say a few words. But he refused to speak. Again he did not speak. So then the king ordered that he must be left. Because he has the ability to speak, but he is not speaking. So he was left. After he was left, then he came onto the stage. And now he was prepared to speak. So what did he say? He said, as long as the bird kept quiet, the life of that bird was safe. But if it made one noise, then the bird lost its life. He said, as long as I kept quiet, I was safe. But when I spoke, I was left. He says, what will be the condition of those people that make buck, 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 buck all the time? What will be their condition on the day of Qiyamah? One person, he says, one poet, he says, ما إن نَدِمْتُ عَلَى سُكُوتِ مَرَّةً وَلَقَدْ نَدِمْتُ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ مِرَارًا. That never, that when I kept quiet, that I regretted over my silence. There was never a stage that when I kept quiet, I regretted over it. But whenever I spoke, then again and again, I regretted over my speaking. So a person that keeps quiet, that person has saved himself. And a person that speaks all the time, he gets into problem. And this is the advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. And particularly, the guna of ghibat. This is such a guna, such a sin, that perhaps hardly anyone is safe from it. Except illa mashallah, those that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protects. That ulama also involved, non-ulama also involved. Those that are pious also, many a time they also get involved. Everyone gets involved in this. Haji Ahmad Nakhuda Sahib, Damat Barakatum, on one occasion he was at the Jamiat office. And one person, he was making ghibat about somebody. So he went up to that person, he said, don't make ghibat. So that person continued. So Haji Ahmad Nakhuda Sahib, when he saw this person is continuing, he walked out from there. Just as it's not permissible to make ghibat about somebody, to listen to that ghibat also is not permissible. Mawlana Azad Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, that one is ghibat is haram. To make ghibat, that is haram. So this is one guna. And then he says on top of that, ulama make ghibat. So he says this is again another wrong. And then he said the third thing, ulama make ghibat of other ulama. So he said that this is how many wrongs now, when a person, he gets involved in ghibat. And how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this, that we would have made what and what interpretation and what explanation we would have given. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified the entire matter. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sahaba, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَةِ. Do you know what is this ghibat? So Sahaba said, Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam know best. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ مَا يَكْرَهُ. This is mentioning of your brother what he dislikes. Many a times a person says, but I'm prepared to tell him on his face. What wrong he has done, I'll tell him on his face. So if a person wants to tell somebody on his face, and if he does it with the intention of nasihat, as a well-wisher to this person, then there's no problem, then you can tell him. But if you want to humiliate the person, then that is another guna a person got involved in. And many people say that what I'm saying is the truth. It's not a lie what I'm talking about the man. So here Sahabi asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the same question. He said, Ya Rasulullah, in kana fihi ma aqul, that if I say in regards to him, that what is in him, the quality that is in him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, in kana fihi ma taqul faqad ikhtabtahu. That if you speak of a quality that is in him, it's a truth, but it is behind his back, something that he will dislike, then that is ghibat. وَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ بَهَتَّهُ. And if the quality is not in him what you're speaking about, then that is not ghibat, that is buhtan. You have slandered the person now. In another hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains, he says, الْغِيبَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الزِّنَا. That here we're talking about protecting the eyes, and those things that lead to zina, and how evil it is, and how we try to protect ourselves. But here Nabi Alayhi Salaam saying, it is worse than zina also. Why? Ulama say that zina is the haqq of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. A person gets involved, later on he will regret, perhaps he will make tawbah to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He will make a firm intention, I will never ever go back to this again. And there is hope that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will forgive him. But when a man made ghibat of another person, he spoke ill about another person, he has attacked the honor of another person, now you got to go and ask that person for maaf. And this is very, very difficult for a person now to get up and go and ask for maaf. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that a man that makes zina, that person will get the tawfiq of tawbah. But a man that makes ghibat, Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, he won't get the tawfiq of tawbah. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, on one occasion Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making tawaf of Baytullah. Whilst making tawaf of Baytullah, he says Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the Hajar-e Aswad. And then he stopped at the Hajar-e Aswad. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addresses the Hajar-e Aswad. And he says that how respectable you are, and how great you are, and how honorable you are. But he said, more respectable and honorable than you is the life, is the wealth, and is the honor of a mu'min. More honorable than the Hajar-e Aswad is the life, is the wealth, and the honor of a Muslim person. When a person is attacking the honor of another person, he is making ghibat about him, it is as though he is destroying Kaaba Sharif. So when a person makes ghibat, how many Kaaba Sharif we are destroying daily in our lives? So a person should be very, very careful. In the previous times, the elderly people, they had a lot of wisdom. Perhaps they didn't have a lot of knowledge. They didn't know all the kitab. But a lot of wisdom in what they used to say. So when the elderly people, they used to meet and they used to be departing, then in Urdu what we say, they will say, Kehna sunna maaf farmai. That if I said anything, make maaf. In Gujarati, they say, Bul chok maaf karo. And many a time the other person will say, Allah na ghar hodi maaf. That till Allah ta'ala's home, everything maaf, whatever you said, everything is maaf. So in this, a person can get wiped out. That if you made ghibat about somebody also, then also a person is forgiven. Everything gets wiped out. So this is one very beneficial statement. That when we meet people, make salam, speak to them, then you say anything I said, anything we did, make us maaf. So in this, if a person had made ghibat about somebody also, that also gets forgiven. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said in one hadith, that if you have made zulm, if you oppress somebody, then he says, ask forgiveness from that person before that day comes when you cannot ask him for forgiveness. And if you have usurped the right and the wealth of a person, he says, return that wealth or make him happy so that he makes you maaf before the day of Qiyamah. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, it is mentioned regarding him that one person used to make ghibat about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi used to send mitai for him all the time. The more he makes ribat, the more mitai is going for this person. So after some time he stopped, I'm talking bad about the man, he's sending mitai over here. So he stopped making ribat. So when he stopped making ribat, so this person, he stopped making ribat, now the mitai stopped. So this person came to Imam Sahib rahmatullahi. He says, when I used to make ribat, you used to send mitai. But now I stopped, there is no mitai. So Imam Sahib rahmatullahi said that when you were making ribat about me, you were doing me a favor. That all your nekis, all your good deeds, all was being transferred into my account. But now you stop making ribat, you stop transferring into my account. So that is why I stopped sending that mitai also. And Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi said that if I was to make ghibat of anyone, I would make ghibat of my parents. I won't make ghibat of anyone else. Why? Why should I deposit my good deed into the account of somebody else? Rather, I deposit my good deed into the account of my parents. A person, his roza the whole day, how long it takes. And difficulty sometimes a person goes through. 16 hours, 18 hours, yeah, it's a bit easy, alhamdulillah. But wait, 18 hours, 20 hours a day, how much of difficulty? A man stands in Taraweeh, he performs his 5 times namaz. He wakes up in the morning, he makes tilawat of Quran. Here we just speak about somebody, everything gone. Deposit into that man's account. So all our good deeds are now transferred. In the riwayat of the Abu Dawud Sharif, it is mentioned that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that interest is such a guna, engaging and dealing with interest. This is such a guna that it comprises of many other gunas. It's not just one guna, but there are many other gunas that is in interest. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the least form of interest is that a man gets involved in incest with his mother. For no other sin, we find this type of a warning has come. That a person getting involved with his mother in incest. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the worst form of interest. This is the least. He said the worst form of interest is the man that attacks the honor of another Muslim brother. That is the worst form of interest. On the occasion of Mi'raj, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was with Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, and he had witnessed the various type of punishments, then one adab that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had witnessed, that people with long nails, and they're scratching their faces, tearing their faces. So Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam asked Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, he said that, oh Jibreel, who are these people? So Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam mentioned, that these are the people that ate the flesh of their Muslim brothers. They ate the flesh of their Muslim brothers. They made ghibat about the Muslim brothers. So this is their punishment today on the day of Qiyamah. And yet in another hadith it is mentioned that a person that makes ghibat on the day of Qiyamah, when he will come to the bridge of Sirat, he won't be allowed to cross. He will be told that that person that you made ghibat about, go first to him, ask him for maaf. When he forgives you, then you will be given the opportunity now to cross over the bridge of Sirat. So if a person was involved in this, Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make tawbah and to give up this guna. A tabi'i by the name of Ribi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, on one occasion I came to a particular gathering. He says, so in this gathering I came, I also sat down in this gathering. So ghibat was taking place over here. So he says, when this ghibat was taking place, so I said, I cannot sit in this gathering and I don't have the ability to stop them. So he got up from there and he walked away from that gathering. And that is what is required. If a person has the ability of stopping them, stop them. And if we don't have the ability of stopping them, then don't participate. Get up from that gathering and leave that gathering. So he says, I got up from there and I left. He says, after a little while, I thought that now the discussion will be over. So he said, I came back to that gathering and I sat down. But he said, again the discussion of ghibat started. He started speaking ill of somebody. He says, this time I didn't even have the himmat and the courage to get up from there. And in fact, I also added, I said a few words also. So he says, that night when I went home and I slept. He says, I seen a dream. So one person comes, a dark complexion person. He comes with a tray in his hand. And in this tray there is meat. So he brings this meat and he tells me, eat this meat. So when he brought the meat close to me, I realized it's swine. So I said, this is haram. I can't eat this. This is haram. It is swine. So he took the meat and he started stuffing it, pushing it into his mouth. He says, no, eat it. You made ribat over there. You ate the flesh of your Muslim brother. So now eat this. And he says, as he's seeing this in the dream, he's witnessing this occurrence in the dream, his eye opens. He says that the taste of that swine remained on my tongue, he says, for an entire month. For 30 days, this was the taste that was on my tongue. That those that are Ahlullah, the pious friends of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, they sense it immediately. When Qasim Sahib Nanoti, rahmatullahi, he mentioned that on one occasion, I went for a dawat. And when I participated in the dawat, he said the food that was there, this food was doubtful. So he says that when I ate that one morsel of doubtful food, he said for months this had an effect on me. For months evil thoughts were coming to me, evil desires were coming into me, just because I had a morsel of doubtful, not haram, a morsel of doubtful food. An example, as it mentions to us, that on one occasion they were at the Kruger Park, and he said a lion had made its kill. So it was a few days now that the carcass, the remains were lying there. So he says the vultures were all day eating all the remains. So they stopped to see what is it there. So they opened the windows. So they say, what a stench that they couldn't tolerate it. They put up the windows and they drove off at the speed. And they applied ether. But he said for the vultures that was there, it was like biryani. They were eating biryani over there. So exactly the same way that the people that are involved in this, then we've accustomed, we become, what we will say, we used to this. So we don't find any smell. But those that are the Ahlullah, the pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they find the smell of this. So ulama have mentioned that there are certain cure, there is a cure for this ghibat as well. And a person that is sincere, he will try and adopt this. The first ilaj that has been given is that person that one has made ghibat about, go to him and tell that person that I made ghibat about you. And he's going to ask you also, that what ghibat did you make about me? Now imagine how difficult this is on the nafs now to go to that person. And many a time we make ghibat about the person that we don't like also. So now you got to go to him and you got to tell him that I made ghibat about you. Mawlana Safar Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says, that sometimes my muridin used to come to me. And they used to tell me, that Hazrat, we made ghibat about you. Please make us maaf. So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that I'll make you maaf on one condition. So he said, what's the condition? So he says, that you must tell me what ghibat you made. And then Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says, why I used to ask them the reason for making ghibat, or what ghibat did you make about me? He says, perhaps what they are talking about is correct. Maybe I have that fault in me. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi saying, maybe that fault is in me. So to reform, to change myself, I used to tell them that, tell me that what wrong is, what have you spoken, so that I may rectify myself. So this is the first, that you have to go to the person and ask that person to forgive you. The second cure to the sickness, Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says, that when you are on the verge of making ghibat of somebody, he says, at that time, look at your fault. That how many faults I got in me, yet I want to speak about somebody else's fault. What we say, our backyard is not clean, we're going to clean somebody else's backyard. We got so much of problems, we got so much of faults, but now we are prepared to even speak about the fault of the next person. So he said, this will deter a person, this will stop a person from making ghibat. The third ilaj that has been given is that think of the azab of Allah Ta'ala. We mentioned the narrations of Abu Dawud Sharif, how that person will be held back on the day of Qiyamah. That how evil this guna is. Think of all these azabs. That what difficulty a person will have on the day of Qiyamah, and this will stop a person. The fourth cure that has been given, this is a weak narration, wherein it is mentioned that person that you made ghibat about, so make dua maghfirat for him, or istighfar for him. The person is living, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive such a person. So make person. So make person. So make dua for such a person. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayh and Muslim Muhammad Shafi sahab rahmatullah alayh, later in their life, they all wrote letters. And they send these letters to all their family members and all the close associates that they had. That if we did not fulfill your right in any way, we had done something wrong to you, then please forgive us. So this also a person can do. Today is the time of WhatsApp. For a person to send that WhatsApp message, or a person to send a SMS, or make a phone call and ask for maaf, just make salam, speak to him a little bit at the end, say, please make me maaf if we have done anything wrong, and remember me in your du'as. What is so difficult? So Mufti Shafi sahab rahmatullahi, Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, they did this. Another prescription that Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi gives, he says that don't praise anyone. He says don't praise any person, don't speak about the good of any person. He says because when you start speaking about the good of a person. And then shaitan gets the upper hand of a person. So what we'll do, we'll say he's so good, he's got this quality, he's got this quality, and he's got this quality. And then we'll come to a stage and say, but this. So he says, what we did, we threw water over everything. Everything is now destroyed. All that praises one side, but he got this quality in him, so everything is destroyed. The next ilaj is this, that a person should make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That Allah, you give me the tawfiq. Allah, you give me the kharid. That I do not make ghibat about another person. And the last is this, that if all these remedies, a person tried all these remedies, and all these remedies, they did not work, then the last remedy is now stipulate a punishment. That a person will say that so much I'll give in sadaqah now. If I make ghibat about somebody, I will give so much of money. Or if I make ghibat about somebody, I will fast. Or if I make ghibat, I'll read so many rakats of nafil namaz. So that is now difficult on the nafs. So this will hold a person back from making ghibat. So these are the prescriptions that have been given. There are certain occasions where it is permissible also for a person to make ghibat. We'll continue with that tomorrow, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.